David experienced a place with God where, I know we've said this here before, where David literally, these are not words. These were manifestations where he says, he that dwells, that waiting will abide. There's a shift. There's a shift as you wait. And as you wait, like David, he calls it a dwelling. That's what we're doing. We are dwelling. As we come, as we make it, as we're consistent every evening, we are dwelling. It's not a visit. We are not visiting God. We are coming back home. We are dwelling. He says, after a while, there's a shift that takes place. Our spirit becomes more used to the presence of God. And God becomes more used to us. And this shift, like the ego, there's a shift that takes place. And it says all of a sudden, we realize there's a manifestation of God that makes it evident that it looks like we are under a shadow of the Almighty. Meaning, we are blanketed under the shadow of God, under the presence of God. The psalm I read talks about, David says, my heart faints for your presence. Meaning he longs so much for the presence of God, the courts of the Lord, the glory of the Lord. He says it's like he faints for it. This man was eating up to be with God. And as he continued in this, he started describing what was happening to him. He says towards the end, he says, even though you pass through the valley of Baca, meaning no matter what we're going through, no matter the circumstance, the situation, Psalms 23 says, even though I pass through the valley of the shadow of death, he says he knows the Lord is the one leading, is walking you through. You know you're in his presence, you are still. And then he says, even though the enemies around you, he says it's like he's preparing a table before you. You are in the presence of God. The valleys don't bother you. Enemies don't bother you. And he just takes you. And he says then God becomes, towards the end, he says, God becomes like the sun. Meaning the sun, the way the sun drives away darkness. He says you begin to walk in the presence of God and no darkness. You will no more walk in darkness. Because God becomes a sun. And he says he becomes a shield. You are invisibly shielded by God. And the presence of God becomes such a light. You're no more walking in darkness. Jesus told his disciples, he says, there are 12 hours in the day. He that walks in the day will not stumble. Who that walks in the light. God will begin to make things plain. And he says, at this point, he will not withhold anything from you, from us. So what the Lord was showing me, you know, it's like he's saying, you see the people at Azusa Street. You know, we read these testimonies, but if we go study it very well, these people were waiting on God. They were not satisfied with the movements and all the things that were, all the ecumenical churches and all the things that were happening. They were waiting and waiting. They were praying every evening, every day. It was a consistent thing. They did not stop. They were seeking God. Praying in the spirit wasn't common. One person got filled, and later they kept praying and kept praying. They kept seeking. It was a daily thing. It was a consistent thing. And they were in the house, and they just kept on. And God saw these people that were waiting. They were hungry. And suddenly, God started coming trinklings. And all of a sudden, people started sensing this. And they start filling up this house at Bonnie Bray. And gradually, the place could not take them anymore. And they started sensing a deposit of the glory of God. And before they knew, they started preparing this 312 Azusa Street. By the time they moved into this old stable, the transformation has taken hold. And the next 3 years, people started seeing literally the cloud the cloud, a visible spiritual cloud, meaning angels were over that building consistently. And inside, the glory of God was in there. That they didn't need to do much, and miracles were just natural in that place. But if you look at their time of waiting were not even to so many years. So the preparation process was not intense. But God has been preparing us. And so they could not sustain the weight of the glory. It overwhelmed them and things started happening. And after about that time, because of all these tribes and everything that happened, that move of God, the Lord just lifted. But before that time, in 1903, around 1903, 1904, heading to Evans, Roberts, and a bunch of wrong people just constantly cried out, "We're crying, we're crying, we're crying, we're crying." I don't remember how long, but the stories, they were just waiting and crying and waiting and crying. They were dwelling, and all of a sudden, God decided to come and become a sun and a shield over Wales. The physical atmosphere, because of the desperation of the people, eventually converted the whole nation from a physical breath to a spiritual breath. People literally breathed in the life of God, and it brought conviction, it brought healing, it brought a shift. And in a very short time, many came to the Lord. It made history. They were not stealing. They were not. The people were so convicted. The judges didn't need to have to go to jails. Were everything. People's languages were changed. People who used to curse started speaking righteousness. There was such a transformation by people just breathing in the air from heaven. Because of people who dared to wait until God comes. So the Lord is showing me it is not us. The favor and the mercy of God has sought us out. And we have been marked for something special. And for us to be able to host and to receive, God has literally programmed and arrested us in this waiting process. We are not the one trying to wait. It is God knowing that the waiting is the prerequisite for what he's going to do to cause himself to become a habitation. And that's why we are arrested in this process. And from what I feel in my spirit, I just feel it so strong in my spirit. And I've been excited even since we started waiting, and we're still waiting. But occasionally you just see these things in your spirit. Azusa Street, Wales is going to look like nothing to what, I don't care anywhere in America, I know it's going to happen here because of this waiting. God does not break his covenant. When people that he has called meet the prerequisite of heaven, it is a pleasure that God receives because he finds a dwelling place. So my prayer tonight is that, like the person knocking at the door, we will wait until this complete heaven opens upon us. Shaking, however way God prepares to do it. 2 days ago, just yesterday we were here. We were here yesterday. And we finished waiting upon the Lord. And this young girl didn't want to say anything, but the mom keep telling him, say to the pastor. And just to cut the long story short, I sat down. She said, "Pastor, Saturday night I went to bed. I woke up. I was in sleep. And all of a sudden I had this dream." This is this young Tajay. Why? This young girl has been coming to all night prayer with the mom, coming to pray every evening. Just like Samuel, she's been sleeping and resting her ears in the presence of God. And God has been speaking to every one of us here, adults. God has been speaking to us. God has been showing us visions. God has been giving us dreams. And it looks like some things have been waiting because the long suffering of God is waiting. So sometimes we think that the things God is doing, we are missing the mark, but God is doing something. And she said, I went with my mom. We're kind of in this camp. We went for camping. And as we light the fire at this camping place, all of a sudden, from nowhere, the whole earth begins to shake and rumble. And what she was describing was an earthquake. And today there was an earthquake in China. She did not only see, it didn't happen to her once. She said, I went back to bed and I had the same dream, the same. And I said, that's a confirmation from the scriptures that this is a dream from the Lord. And she said it was happening all over the world. And she just said this to me yesterday. And today there was a rattling earthquake, though it was 5%, but caused more damage. She didn't say where the earthquake would happen. She just said it was all over the world. Of course, it was also happening around her. God, and she's 11 years old. God is beginning to speak to, like Samuel. He is abandoning the Eli's and is beginning to speak even to young people who wait in the presence of God, confirming their dreams twice. She didn't even know what it means to dream a dream twice in one night. 11 years old. God is speaking to her about an earthquake. Last week, today's what? Monday. Last week, about the middle of the week, I received a call, a test. Basically, you all know Lynn Baker that comes here. And you all know her story. She had cancer. And God supernaturally has... Doctors, they can't deny the miracle because very few people hardly survive. It was cleared miracle after the chemo, and you all know the testimony. She's been living in that miracle for a long time, and just driving and doing stuff. And now, if that last week, a spider, that's what they call widow something. Something widow, huh? Black widow, beat her in her house. And she said, devil, you couldn't kill me with cancer, and you want to kill me with widow, I will not die. I just want us to see a woman, you will not kill me. And so they rushed her to the hospital. They took care of all that, and after they rushed her to the hospital, they took her back. They flushed a lot of things. She went back, but when she went back, she noticed she was weak. And because she's gone through so much treatment and she's very careful what she takes and medications and stuff. So she was weak, and her daughter and people noticed that, no, you need to go back to the hospital. She went back to the hospital and they called me. She was in ICU. I went there, I saw her, and just she held my hands, and I looked, just prayed, and we left. And after I left the hospital, the next day, her daughter texted me and said, because we call her sister, she said, Mom, this is the situation now. She said, the doctor said, there is nothing they can do. Because her heart is weak, her body is weak. They don't want to treat any kind of treatment they give her now to resuscitate or do anything is going to damage her heart. There's nothing, their body is so weak that they cannot put the kind of pressure they need to do some treatment or do surgery or do whatever they needed to do. So the doctors gave up. So she said, this is her test. He says, Mom is now in the hands of God. And this is what she said. He says, at this point, no man can take the glory for what God would do. He said, at this time, it's in God's hands. And she said it because I understood. And then when I called, she said, that's it. They gave Lynn Baker a piece of paper. A heart specialist came, cancer specialist, all the different specialists came and said, sign this document and release us. 3 days, you have 3 days to die. She was in ICU. And the daughter told me, I came, I was going to say it for us to pray. I said, no, this is too deep. This is too serious. So I was here crying for mercy. And just crying. When we were in this kind of atmosphere, I was here crying. I said, God, have mercy on this. And the daughter said, you know, brother, you know, come here, Obi. He says, even if mom dies, I don't want it to be in the hospital. But this is the doctors. Everybody has given up. So we prayed, we finished, we did all night and forgotten, went home. The next day, they told her 3 days to leave. The next day, you will not believe this. She was in a private room. She was taken from ICU. They said they can't explain, she's feeling better. Put her in a private. Juara called me and says, mom is walking. I said, God is moving, Juara. God will finish. I mean, we were so excited. The next day, say, mom is texting. And then they said, okay, the doctors didn't know, everybody was excited because when they took her from ICU, when she was in ICU, all the nurses were coming and asking her, do you know the Lord? Because they wanted to make sure before she dies, she knows the Lord. Say, every nurse came to witness to her. Thank God for a Christian. If they don't know God, they wanted to make sure she knew the Lord because that was 3 days to leave. Went into her room. They didn't know what to believe. She was walking. She was going to bathroom by herself. Nobody knew what to say. Linda, that daughter, nobody could describe what was happening. They finally came, said, okay, she's feeling better. They need to take her to rehabilitation. While they were making arrangements for the rehabilitation, said it would take a few days before they can put her in the particular place where she, and the doctor says, okay, maybe we can take her home and send nurses or people that will go to her house at least 3 times a day to help her before they take her to rehabilitation. She went home. Rapid transformation. She didn't need any help from nurse. She didn't need anything. She called me on the phone, Lynn Baker, talking just like normal. Nobody could explain. She is normal. She's talking. She just said all she needs is therapy to get her just so she can drive and move around. So they said they'll make that arrangement, and she's in her house. As I'm talking to you, we talked a lot yesterday, this morning. She says, I really have a testimony now. Because they gave her paper, everything is, I had a test, the doctor is there. The doctor says, it's over, 3 days. And they gave her paper to sign. And Lynn Baker is in the house. Why? Because we're in the presence of God. What a miracle. And the Lord is saying, wait, let's wait, let's wait. We what we are waiting for is not just this ordinary move. God wants to do something that will make everything look like nothing. And this waiting we are doing is a confirmation of what happened to them. The tabernacle of David is the place where the presence of God never departed and the glory of God shone like a sun out of Zion. And God is saying he has not called us Zion in vain. There is a prophetic alignment to what he wants to do out of Zion. So I plead with us, let us wait. Let us wait upon the Lord. Let us wait. Let's continue this waiting. Something is happening, a transformation. The atmosphere is shifting. Something is happening. Amen? And God is going to do amazing things. It might take us surprise, but let's continue to wait. Something is happening on the inside. It's going to manifest on the outside. But let's just like Mike prayed tonight, sometimes we take things for granted, but thank God we are realizing how grateful we are that God will allow us, call us to this moment to just appreciate living in the courts, in the presence of the Lord. So, Father, I thank you tonight. I thank you for what you prepared for our generation. Father, I thank you for you have allowed us to see what you did in Wales and what you did in LA. Father, what you've done in the past. And you said you prepared something greater, something beyond the capacity of human minds to comprehend. And Father, you've arrested us because you want to make sure that we meet the prerequisite by waiting. And in waiting, Father, we die to the weight of the flesh and we lose ourselves to the wind of your holiness, your spirit and your life. Father, you desire to take residence over here in this place as you're building living stones, you're building a habitation, a place, oh God, where it is not houses made with hands, but you're building living stones out of this time of waiting. Father, that you will inhabit this atmosphere of the city and you have a place to rest your feet, that's your glory. You say, where is a house you build for me? Father, that's what you're building. We are your house, oh God. Father, we wait. You are the only one who calls. No man can take upon this upon themselves. So, Father, I pray, everyone you have destined and quickened, you have called for this assignment, I pray that you will arrest them, oh God. Father, cause us to lose the appetite of these things that are so temporary. Help us to wait. Father, draw us, call us. Father, bring us out of this grip of the distractions of the spirit of Babylon. Help us, Father, to establish this holy habitation, that your glory, O God, will rest upon us, that you will cause our generation to breathe the life that will bring transformation to a world that is totally decayed. You will raise again with the wind of your spirit the dry bones. You will raise a nation back. You will raise the people back. But Father, we need the resident of that power of restoration. Your spirit needs a dwelling place, a corporate alignment with heaven, oh God. And we thank you for Zion, the mountain of your holiness. We thank you that this is not just a name in a building, but it is an alignment of a prophetic confirmation of what you have established in this hour, for this moment, in this place. So, Father, we are in alignment with an open heaven. Let the shift, let the transformation, oh God, happen. Change our atmosphere. Change the air we breathe. Change everything around us. As we wait, as we align ourselves to the host of heaven that waits upon you in Zion. You alone will be glorified in this hour. You alone will be magnified. And you alone will be exalted. Father, it's only your grace. Thank you for my brothers and sisters, oh God. I know it's not easy to pull away from these extreme distractions of our age. But Father, like Daniel, please, even if just for this hour, give us the grace to dedicate this hour, oh God, out of the 24 hours of the day. Give us the grace to give you this time as a family. If Daniel did it, oh God, you can do it for us. Give us the grace to dedicate, to offer you these evenings at least, to be in your presence together. Thank you. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you, Father. We seal all that you've done tonight with the blood of your Son. Thank you for raising Levites, oh God. Thank Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name.